And I just wanted to say it's really a blessing for Sue and I to be out here with the mighty West Counties and to be with you. You know, we love the West. You know, we actually lived in California for years, and we actually got a chance to serve in the church in Sacramento, California. And Sacramento was settled by, you know, was actually discovered by pioneers. It was a part of the great, you know, gold rush of, I guess that was 1849, the 49ers. And so, you know, we had this saying out in Sacramento, and we used it later on when we led the West region in San Diego, is we would say, always be a pioneer and never a settler.
Come on.
And we would have people come in, you know, a guest speak, or have people come in just to, just coming through town, and we would give people, you know, a pioneer wagon.
Yeah.
Because it's inspiring to think that people came all across, you know, the U.S., in these covered pioneer wagons that were made out of wood and cotton or whatever they were made out of. And so we would give people these pioneer wagons and say, hey, grab hold of the vision that God has for you. Always be a pioneer, never a settler. And so I want to give that charge to the West Counties of New Jersey. Always be a pioneer. I mean, you guys traveled like miles to get out here from like where you started in New York or Newark Airport or wherever you came from. And here we are, West Counties, New Jersey. God's got a great plan for us. God's got a great plan to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. It's great to be together. We're going to have some great time in the scriptures this morning. Let's pray and really prepare our hearts for the time. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time together. It's just an honor and a privilege to come and worship you, to sing songs, to enjoy sweet fellowship together, to encourage one another. Enjoy this amazing, beautiful day. Father, we pray that you'd really speak to us personally this morning as we open up the scriptures. Father, help us to see you. Help us to see your vision for us. Help us to really grab hold of Jesus' training of our lives. Father, it's greatness training. We know that you have plans to prosper us. Father, to cultivate greatness in us and through us and with us, Father, by your Spirit. Father, we pray that you'd really lead us powerfully as we open up the wise words of the scriptures this morning. Let it guide us. Let it inspire us. Let it lead us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. So my lesson this morning is entitled The Chance of a Lifetime. The Chance of a Lifetime.
Come on.
I want you to imagine for a moment that one of the most famous and powerful people in the history of the world is coming through your neighborhood. Is coming down your street. And this person is known to do crazy, extraordinary miracles. This person is known to raise the dead. This person is known to call people to radical deeds. This person is controversial. This person is in the headlines of the magazines and the newspapers. This person, some people hate this person vehemently. Some people, others, they love this person with all their hearts. This person is known to be revolutionary, but he's also known to be kind. He's also known to be gentle. He's known to be strong. He's known to be visionary. And he's coming right down your road right now. There is a chance of a lifetime for you. What will you do? What will you do? You know, Mark chapter 10, we start reading about this guy. And his name was, by some call him by this name, Blind Bartimaeus. And we're going to read about him because really that was a name, a label given to him in his old life. Because we'll see at the end of the story, he was no longer blind. He was no longer defined by that aspect of his life that was part of his previous life. He was now bold Bartimaeus. He was now bodacious, big vision Bartimaeus. And we start to meet him in Mark chapter 10. We learn first about what Jesus is doing in verse 46. As they came to Jericho, they came to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. I want you to meet Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He had some limitations about his life. He was blind. He had some limitations about his life. He was extremely poor. He was a beggar. You know, a lot of people would look at him and say he was a loser, that he was an outcast. And he was sitting by the side of the road, and sure enough, in his life, and who knew this would happen, but in his life, there was one of the most famous, powerful people in the history of the world that was coming down his street, that was coming through his neighborhood, where he had sat begging time after time, where he had been blind Bartimaeus day after day. Jesus is coming down his street. How would he respond? How would he act? What would happen? Well, let's read ahead. Let's keep reading. So then verse 47, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, how was blind Bartimaeus feeling this day as he had woken up that morning and he had taken his little mat, maybe he'd taken his little cup, he'd faced his challenging life once again. He was going to spend this day begging. He was going to spend this day asking others for stuff that he didn't have. He was going to spend this day being someone that was looked down upon by the people around him. And he went out this morning. He's got things set up. Got things started for the day. And then in the middle of the day, it was intense because he heard this announcement about this person that he had heard about. This person who had spoken to thousands on the hillsides. This person who was a celebrity like they'd never seen in this area before. This person who had done miracles that were like of mythic proportions that were hard to believe. Like, really, that happened? Right. And he's coming down his street. And blind Bartimaeus had to make a decision because he was feeling one way about his life. But today he was going to get the chance of a lifetime. How do you think blind Bartimaeus, before he even heard this announcement that Jesus was coming, how do you think he felt? How do you think he was feeling about his life? He was blind. He was begging. He was vulnerable. He was sitting by the roadside, not even knowing exactly how he would last that day, how he would survive that week. I'm sure blind Bartimaeus was feeling extremely insecure. He was feeling very alone. He was feeling like an outcast. He was feeling looked down upon. And so then he hears about this mighty person, this guy Jesus coming down his street. And what does he start to do? He starts to shout. He starts to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, pay attention to me. I know you're a busy man. I know you're on your way." And Jesus was on his way right now to Jerusalem. And you read in chapter 11, there was going to be a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus was going to be treated like a conquering hero, like a king. And Jesus was going up to this. Why would he ever have time for a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road? Why would he ever have time for us? Just regular people from the western counties of New Jersey. But he takes a risk. And he takes a chance. Yeah. And he starts to use the thing that he does have. What is that? Well, he's got his voice. Yeah. He can't see Jesus coming down the road, but he's got a voice. And we're going to find out here in a second. It's a pretty booming voice. And so he uses his gifts. He uses what he does have. Just to cry out to God. To cry out to Jesus. And take advantage of this chance of a lifetime. Let's go down to verse 47. It says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. You start to appreciate the audacity of Bartimaeus. And I don't know if it was because he was inspired in that minute, or I don't know if it was because he was so desperate in that moment. You know, great things come out of desperation. Great things come out of inspiration. And I found in my own life that oftentimes the times of the greatest change, grabbing hold of the greatest dreams is when I've been the most desperate in my life. And I've been there, it's humbled me. It's taken me to a point where I know it's clear to me, I need God, I need help. And so I'm crying out in a way that I never cried out before. And so Bartimaeus is crying out, and what do the people around him do? He goes, stupid Bartimaeus, shut up. Jesus got a lot more important things to do. And they started rebuking him for shouting out. Isn't that how it is when we have desperate dreams in our life? Yeah. So often the world around us kind of rebukes us. You know, when I was living in Japan, they had this saying that, if the nail stands up, if the nail sticks out, pound it down. You didn't want to get out of conformity in Japan. It's a very hierarchical society, and you didn't get out of line. You kind of knew your place, and you stuck to your place. Well, this nail of Bartimaeus was sticking out right here, and people were trying to pound him back down. But what did Bartimaeus do? He shouted all the more. He shouted all the more. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So in verse 49, we see Jesus stopped and said, call him. Call him. You know, we all feel very insecure often. I found that in my own life. But as much as I've been blessed, as much as God has loved me, I don't know why, but oftentimes I feel insecure. Sometimes I can feel lonely. Sometimes I can feel sad. Sometimes I can feel like an outcast. Sometimes I can feel looked down on. And I don't think, I'm not saying that I kind of relate to Bartimaeus here and his challenges. You know, we've all got different challenges we're trying to face, different things we're trying to overcome in our own character and our own lives and in our own past. But you know, it's interesting because at each one of those junctures, each time we face that, we're faced with a choice, aren't we? Of what is going to define me?
Yeah.
What is going to define me? Am I going to let my past define me? You know, it's easy because we've all been through a lot of junk in the past, haven't we? There's an embarrassment in the past, there's shame in the past, there's challenges in the past, there's difficulties in the past. And oftentimes when we're faced with an opportunity in front of us, we go, oh no, it's never going to happen because of the past. Mm. Because of what happened back there. You remember that?
Yeah.
And we're faced with that choice. Is that past experience going to define my future? Mm. Is it going to define who I become?
Wow.
But we personally have got to make that choice. Right. And it's got to be an intentional choice. Yeah. It's oftentimes an audacious choice.
Wow.
And oftentimes the people around us aren't clapping on that choice. Because most people are trapped in their past.
Yeah.
And when you move forward from that, it challenges them.
Right.
It makes them feel uncomfortable. It's more comfortable oftentimes in the pains and the suffering and the challenges of the past.
Wow.
And so it's funny because even when people around us are trying to change and move forward, oftentimes we're the ones holding them back because it makes us feel uncomfortable.
Wow.
And so a lot of times we want to be defined by the past, but it's a choice. We can be defined by our past. We can be defined by our fears. We can be defined by our limitations. We can be defined by our sins. We can be defined by what others think. Isn't that so tempting? To be defined by other people's thoughts about us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And oftentimes the crazy thing is they're not even thinking that at all.
Yeah.
Do you ever notice that? Like you're going, I wonder what so-and-so's thinking about what I'm doing right now. And if you knew what they were thinking, they're not thinking about you at all. They're thinking about themselves, probably. And so often we're so concerned about what everybody else thinks. And certainly Bartimaeus was thinking about that this day. But he wouldn't be silenced. He wouldn't let that define him. You know, when Sue worked as a teacher in the school system in Connecticut, in the town that we lived in, she had this opportunity to work with a blind boy. And he was blind because he'd had an inoperable brain tumor that had messed up his optic nerve. And so he was blind, and Sue got a chance to work with him. And his name was Sterling. And Sterling was really kind of an audacious young man. And he was inspiring to our whole family. You know, Sue would walk over, the school was really close to us, and her office was really close to us, and she would walk over to work. And she would spend hours with this young man, and she would, you know, he had a cane, and he would find his way around the school, with his cane. She would kind of lead him by his hand, but oftentimes she wouldn't because that was kind of enabling him a little bit. And so she would just kind of be there to sort of guide him, look out for him. But he had this audacious spirit. And it inspired us because despite his limitations, he wasn't going to let his blindness define him.
Wow.
The thing about it too is he didn't realize that his blindness kind of disfigured his face. And it kind of made him look, odd. It made him look different. And kids would make fun of him. Kids would be a little bit afraid of him. They wouldn't quite know how to interact with him. But he didn't let that define him.
Wow.
And it's really cool because 2 days ago, he graduated from high school.
Yes.
And so this blind boy made it all the way through high school. And Sue and I saw a picture of him on the stage, and it kind of makes us cry with this. Because we all face our own limitations. And we're inspired by this young man who didn't let that define him.
Wow.
You know, I was out for a run the other day, and I ran down to Ridgewood. Ridgefield is the town we lived in before. Ridgewood High School, and I was running. And they were having graduation down at Ridgewood High School. And they have a really beautiful ceremony where everyone dresses in white. And they kind of make this procession down from the high school to the football field. And I love to run down there. There's some trails down there and the track and everything. The place was packed. It was raining. It was torrentially raining. And so everybody had their clear ponchos on, all the graduates. I think it's probably like, I don't know, like, we think it's about 450 kids in the class. And I was running down there. And it was kind of cool because during the ceremony, the clouds broke and there was this rainbow and it was kind of this inspiring scene. And I was remembering that, you know, that those graduation times. And of course the speaker was speaking and he was talking about, you know, really taking hold of your life and taking hold of your dreams. And you know, at that moment in life, you're really sort of open to that idea. You just kind of got into this place where you're graduating from high school and it's exciting and sort of the world is your oyster. You know, the world is this opportunity. Now, it's scary and it's challenging, but oftentimes, you know, the graduation speakers will say, you know, we'll talk about just the opportunity that they're facing and really trying to equip and encourage the students at whatever level they are to take hold of it. Well, the speaker was talking about, he said, you know, we had a coach at the high school who was an alumnus here, and he always used to talk about this formula. And he said the formula that he had was E plus R equals O. E plus R equals O. And I'm running around the field listening to the speaker. We're kind of running through the crowd and kind of stuff. And so he goes, E stands for events. R stands for response. And O stands for outcome. Events plus our response equals outcomes. And he was talking about the challenges of life. And he was even talking about some global challenges. And he was challenging the students, the graduating seniors at Ridgewood High School, to take hold of one of these great challenges of our era. Challenges like poverty. Challenges like economic disparity. Challenges, you know, like disease. And like the challenges that we're facing. Did you know that 1 billion kids this morning woke up in extreme poverty? Did you know there's 2 billion kids in the world and half of them woke up this morning in extreme poverty because of no fault of their own? And we've got challenges like that around the world, right?
Yeah.
And so who's challenging them to be a positive E plus R equals O?
Wow.
Because he said we all got experiences that have happened to us, circumstances that have happened around us. But what's going to determine the outcome is our response to those challenges. And that's where Jesus comes in. Because Jesus, as the master, teaches us how to have masterful life responses to the events. Four incredible outcomes of blessing and of life and of love and of leadership. And that's what he's talking to. And that's what he's interacting with Bartimaeus about right here. He's saying, Bartimaeus, E plus R equals O. What will be our R this morning? I don't know everything that's happened in your life up to this moment. I don't know everything that's kind of gone through your heart even this morning. But I do know that's our response to those events that is going to lead to the outcomes in our life. And so that's what Jesus is talking about. And that's the hope that Bartimaeus has in this moment. Let's look at it down in verse 48. Many rebuked Bartimaeus and told him to be quiet. And he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." He got Jesus' notice. I'm wondering if Jesus even saw a little bit of himself in there. In this young man, in this man. He says, so he called the blind man. He said, "Cheer up." They called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Now listen to this. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. You know, it's interesting because to me this is such a simple but such a challenging question. Jesus asks this guy, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know, oftentimes we think of this in a kind of a selfish way. We don't want to really think about our desires. We don't really want to think about our wants. We don't think God is very interested in our wants. We think God is just interested in our needs, right? And so a lot of times we think, "I'm not going to ask God anything because he doesn't really want to hear that. That's more of a desire. Maybe that's more selfish." And certainly we take that risk, don't we? When someone asks us, "What do you want?" Yeah, there is the risk that we're going to say something very selfish in response to that. But God is willing to take that risk. Right. Jesus is willing to take that risk with Bartimaeus. But he was getting Bartimaeus to confront his own fears. He was getting Bartimaeus to use what he had. Yeah, he couldn't see, but he could use his voice. And he could talk to Jesus. And he could express to Jesus. Jesus wanted to know what was in his heart. Jesus wanted to know where his faith was at. And so he asked him this question. "Blind Bartimaeus," or "Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus is kind of like, "Hey, no one's ever done anything for me. No one's ever given me nothing." And here this man is asking something that he could do for me. He wants to serve me. He wants to give me something. And not only just want to give me something, he wants to give me what I want. You know, I think in this moment that time probably stood still for Bartimaeus. And in his mind, with this question, he was being watched by a large crowd. The spotlight was on him. He'd always been sort of in the periphery. He'd always been sort of on the side. No one ever really noticed him. But now the spotlight's on him. And this famous, powerful man is asking him a question. And I'm sure in one moment he was thrilled, and the other moment he was horrified. What do I say? What would you say?
Right.
What would you say in that moment? You know, I think what I would probably say is I would probably freeze up, get nervous, and go, "I just wanted to say hi. Hey." And just kind of let the spotlight pass from me. Or I'd say something like, "Hey, I just want to tell you, you're really cool. Thank you." And kind of let the spotlight pass. Let the pressure pass. I'm not sure what would come out of my heart. But I think I'd probably be tempted to say something polite. Or say something that would be sort of like, I don't know, non-confrontational. Say something that didn't sound too selfish. Because I don't want to be selfish. I'm not sure what was going through his heart, but I'm sure that time stood still for this man. You know, when we ask things of God, we often fear disappointment. And I think that's probably something that was going through his heart as well. He didn't want to be disappointed.
Wow.
What if he asked Jesus for something and Jesus said no? What if he asked Jesus for something and Jesus laughed at him? Wouldn't that be hard? Wouldn't it be a lot easier for Bartimaeus just to respond with sort of a bland answer so he wouldn't take a chance? And isn't that a lot of times how we face God? God is God. God created all this. There's nothing impossible for God. We read scriptures where it talks about, you know, when you pray, believe you receive it, it shall be yours. Nothing will be impossible for him who believes. But then when it comes to that moment where God says, what do you want me to do for you? We so often are defined by all of our insecurities and all of our stuff and all of our weaknesses. And we're so often defined by this fear of disappointment. Well, what if God doesn't come through? And oftentimes we're afraid of that because it would mess with our concept of who God is. Because we know all these things I just said about God, but we don't want them to be invalidated because God didn't answer our prayer. And so a lot of times we kind of pray for bland stuff, and then we kind of go, well, you know, it sort of happened, didn't it? And so God is real, but we kind of live in this sort of quasi-weird place of faith and doubt. And God is saying, what do you want me to do for you, man?
Wow.
Well, man. Talk to me.
Yeah.
God wants us to talk to him.
Yeah.
God wants us to grapple. God wants us to struggle. God wants us to get to know him. God wants us to ask him the tough questions. God wants us to go to those places that we're afraid of. God wants us to take chances. And God promises he will be faithful when we take those chances and we put our trust in him. You know, let me ask you this. When God doesn't give us what we want, what is he doing? When we answer his question and say, when he says, what do you want me to do for you? And we verbalize, we say it, but God doesn't give us what we want. What's happening? A lot of times we say, hey, well, God's giving us what we need. And I think there's some truth to that. But what I see in like Romans chapter 8, verse 28, says, God is working for the good of those who love him. Jeremiah 29, God wants to prosper me and not to harm me. You know what I really believe? When we don't get what we want, what God is doing is he's planning on giving us something better.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
He's planning on giving us something more.
Yeah, wow.
Sweeter. More wonderful. More extraordinary. More descriptive of, like Romeo talked about this morning, of his love for us. And of his generosity towards us. And his grace towards us. And so God is doing that. God is not against you. God is for you. God is not just kind of wanting to notch you down. And saying, you're blind, dude. Don't talk about so much stuff. Don't have such big dreams. God is not saying your dreams are too big for me. God has got something like, hey, that's a good indication of your dreams. And where you want to go. And you know what? I'm not even going to do that. I'm going to do something better. You know, we have this saying in our family that's really helped us through times of disappointment. We talk to each other a lot, and we've gone through disappointment like even last day. We go through disappointment a lot. We kind of wonder, what's God doing? And we realize that if it's not this, it's something better. If it's not this, it's something better.
Yeah.
And I'd really like for you to think about that one, and to consider that, to kind of mull on that one a little bit. Write that one down, and think about that in your own life. If it's not this, it's something better. God is working for good in our lives. You know, the other day, I just turned 55.
Ooh.
At my birthday. It's so tempting for me to think the best days are behind me. But that's garbage, right?
Yeah.
I'm not letting that garbage in here. The best days are ahead. You know, if I were to answer this question about my life moving forward, I would say to Jesus, I want to be fearless. I want to be fearless. I want to live to my maximum potential. God has given me life. God has given me so many blessings. And I want to live it to the full. I want to go out on the last day I go, whenever that is, and I want them to say about me, this dude lived. This guy went for it. He didn't let anything hold him back. He maxed it out. And honestly, I plan to live to 110. That's my goal. And I read it one time in Japan. Nick and I were reading the English newspaper. On the front of the newspaper, it said the world skydiving record had just been set by a guy who's 103 years old. He's Australian. He lost a bet at a bar. And so he went out and did this tandem jump with a guy. And he was 103 years old. He set the world skydiving record. I said, Nick, I just found my new goal. I'm going to set the world skydiving record when I'm 104 years old. And I asked him, are you in? He said, yes. He'll be 74 years old at the time. We fully intend to get there. I want to be fearless. Look at what Bartimaeus said. Verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see. Boy, Bartimaeus took a risk right there. Because in that moment, he was going to find out whether Jesus liked him or not. Or whether Jesus valued him or not. Because he'd heard about it. He'd heard Jesus had given recovery of sight to many blind people. Would he do it for him? He had just exposed himself. Vulnerable. Totally vulnerable. I want to see. And it was going to be a moment that was going to be obvious to everybody. Was this guy going to see or was he not? He rolled the dice. He took a chance. A huge risk in his life. And look what happens. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Bartimaeus took advantage of the chance of a lifetime. See, I think in Bartimaeus, Jesus saw his own challenges because Jesus was on his road to the cross. And Jesus would be extremely challenged with this mighty, mighty expectation that was being placed on him. This mighty goal that he had set out to accomplish. I will die for the sins of the world, and I will not commit a sin in my life. And so Jesus, I think, saw in him a boldness. He saw in him a faith that inspired him. Because again, from this point on, Jesus is walking the road to the cross. Jesus is walking the road to his greatness. He was walking the road to his choices. Would Jesus choose the easy way? All this had happened. Or would Jesus choose to accomplish the dream that he had set out for? Right. Which road would he take? What would he verbalize? What would he follow through on? And I think this story is in the Bible because I think Bartimaeus inspired Jesus. You know, a rapper once said, look, if you had one shot or one opportunity.
No, my God.
I love this song. I got to X out the expletives, of course, but this song is a good one. Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment, would you capture it or would you just let it slip? That's the question for us today. That was the question for Jesus as he moved on from this place. That was the question that Bartimaeus answered. He would capture it. Today, each of us has the chance of a lifetime. One shot. What will you do? Let's be like Jesus. Let's be like bold Bartimaeus. Thank you.